Saturday, November 24th, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions presents Chuck, the Iceman Liddell, as he returns to the cage to take on the Huntington Beach bad boy Tito Ortiz in the third and final chapter of their historic rivalry at the Fabulous Forum, plus a fully stacked undercard of competitive MMA talent. Do not miss another chapter of this historic rivalry. Saturday, November 24th at the Forum. Tickets start at $30 and they're available at Ticketmaster.com. or by calling 800-745-3000. 800-745-3000.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Powering our way into the final hour of the program. Thank you for kicking off the long holiday weekend with us. Jim's in the basement. I'm coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Just one more guest along the way. In 35 minutes, we will get you fully lined up for the triple header coming up tomorrow. It all starts on CBS. Lions could catch a break, according to reports. Mitchell Trubisky in doubt to make the start for the Bears, meaning it'll be Chase Daniel under center. We'll talk about all three games and look ahead to Sunday's matchups with Will Brinson, senior football writer for CBSSports.com. If you weren't with us in the first hour of the show, had a real thoughtful conversation with Super Bowl champion James Jones, former Packer and Raider receiver, now working as an analyst for NFL Network. He detailed his journey from a childhood filled with adversity. At times, he and his mom had to spend their nights in a homeless shelter, and James very active now in the community. Check it out when you have a chance, and of course, all the great offerings online on radio.com. 1-800-636-8686, RomeAndHaveATake.com. Open for business on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Now, if you can see me on the CBS Sports Network, not as young as I think I am. Apparently, I am what Barney Rubble and Fred Flintstone would look like if they were combined, and I'm sure the staff is working on that. I don't have to keep guessing what that image would look like based on a lovely tweet I read in the first hour, although there could be licensing issues. Don't mess with Hanna-Barbera. They're going to get every dollar they can. Still, because the majority of you are listening on the radio, I hope I have an enthusiastic delivery. Here was my mindset when I got on the radio a long time ago. If I'm listening to a show and the host sounds like he doesn't want to be there, I'm gone. So I have done my best always to have a lot of energy and hopefully a little bit of reflective analysis as well. But this is a long-winded way of saying, smoothly, it's not my first day in radio. And typically, I would not kick off an hour with a phone call, but because I am the fill-in host and because I want you to be a part of the show and I've been listening to what Jim's been doing in the jungle for 20 years, back to when he was reading the huge facts of the day, we will talk Cowboys and Redskins coming up in a minute. I'm going to tell you why losing could be winning for America's team. First, let's go back to the phone lines. Here's Joe in Florida. Joe, thank you for your patience. You're in the jungle. What's up?
Yeah, Brian. Reason I called was, you know, I think the real reason why Le'Veon Bell never went back to Pittsburgh was because he was scared. He was scared of Connor. I mean, if he was to come back during half of the season, Connor would probably showed him up. And I thought he wouldn't get the money, you know. But I really believe, and all the announcers never even talked about that, you know. I think he was scared.
Okay, Joe, appreciate the phone call. I don't think that's the proper way of viewing things, especially if we're talking about the money. Remember, the franchise tender is all guaranteed. So if Le'Veon Bell had showed up week one, he would have received $14.5 million this year. Even if he had showed up prior to the deadline, which passed a couple weeks ago, he would have gotten $6 million. So I don't think any of this is related to Le'Veon Bell being scarred of what James Conner has done. And Conner, you know, a marvelous story. Cancer survivor, local guy who played his college football at Pitt. Le'Veon Bell is making a business decision. He wants to be fully rested and ready to go for next offseason. And this is boring, so let me do it quickly. Unless Pittsburgh uses the transition tag on him, which I don't think they will, he gets the free agency, and we'll find out. Did he make a colossal blunder by leaving $14.5 million or at least $6 million on the table? Or did he bet on himself, avoid the wear and tear of being the featured back in Pittsburgh and the 300 touches that come with that? And does he get Todd Gurley money? We'll find out. It's virtually unprecedented. It's been years since somebody missed a whole season. Got to go back to Sean Gilbert decades ago. And I know a lot of you just think on the surface it was a ridiculously bad decision by Le'Veon Bell. Well, in professional sports, you're the CEO of your own corporation. I understand it rationally. I get what the logical description of the intended goal is. And how about this? He would not have done this, in my estimation, without a wink-wink, nudge-nudge understanding with somebody. Be it the Jets, be it the Eagles, somebody's going to write Le'Veon Bell a very big check. Yeah, maybe 29 teams around the league think he doesn't love football anymore. Only takes one yes, and he's going to get Todd Gurley money because he's as versatile as Gurley. And running backs aren't dead in the NFL. Think about what the Cowboys should utilize tomorrow when they match up with Washington in the second of three games. Because if you've been paying attention and think about the remarkable turnaround Dallas has put together the last couple weeks, some of it is a byproduct of the schedule, although it's never easy to win on the road in the NFL, as I dust off a cliche to start the final hour of the show. Back-to-back road victories in Philadelphia and Atlanta, in large part because Jason Garrett realized, and perhaps it was all of the national speculation coming off a lousy game against the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football, that Garrett was going to lose his job maybe before the end of the season. Garrett woke up and finally started using Ezekiel Elliott more effectively. Not just all the carries Zeke has been getting the last two games, but he's also been a premier weapon coming out of the backfield. And that takes a ton of pressure off Dak Prescott, who we knew coming into the league was not a top-tier prospect. And remember, he had the DUI arrest, although nobody talks about the fact, most importantly, he was acquitted of the charge. But that's a red flag when it comes to character on your path to the draft. But Dak was a fourth-round pick for a reason. Everybody could have drafted him three times. They passed. He's got limitations. Looking better now, why? Because Ezekiel Elliott is driving that offense, and because he finally has something close to a legitimate number one receiver with the pickup of Amari Cooper. So, Dallas has jump-started what was a stagnant season. And not only are they trending in the right direction, think about what has occurred around them. Philadelphia has imploded. They've fallen, and they're not getting up. Mostly because of injuries. We can talk about the notion of a Super Bowl hangover if you want. And think about where this team was when Carson Wentz went down. Amazing they even made it to the Super Bowl. All the more impressive they wanted with a backup quarterback in Nick Foles, in part because New England just does not play defense well anymore. Philadelphia crushed by critical injuries this year. Jay Ajayi going down with a torn ACL. The secondary ravaged by aches and pains, and that was another reason why Dak Prescott looked so good in that Sunday Night Football victory on the road in Philadelphia. So things are trending in the right direction for Dallas. But if you are a Cowboy fan, here's the question. I don't do a show question of the day or question of the hour. I love a Twitter poll in which 10 people respond. Most of them say, we don't like your work. If you are a true Cowboy fan, what's more important to you? Winning this division, which is right in front of you now. Cowboys have been installed as a favorite by the Sharpies in Las Vegas because Philadelphia has regressed and because of the horrific Alex Smith injury on Sunday. At the age of 34, you have to wonder, is that career threatening? You hope not. Alex Smith is a good dude, and that was just painful to watch. But strictly from a football standpoint now, do you believe that Colt McCoy can hold that team together? And we discussed it with James Jones of NFL Network in the first hour. There is a perception that the Redskins have a lot of confidence in McCoy. Now, what are they supposed to say? We tap out. We got no shot. We're not going to show up. If you're just looking for credentials, and we can go all the way back to college, McCoy, very comfortable in the state of Texas. It's where he grew up. You know what he did in Austin playing for the Longhorns. He has a head-to-head victory over the Cowboys a few years ago, but it's not going to be enough because Washington's been destroyed by injuries beyond what Alex Smith had to endure on Sunday. Jordan Reed even play professional football anymore? Virtually every Sunday, he's unavailable. So Dallas is going to win the division. But you have to come to terms, as a Cowboy fan, with the outcome. Is it worth picking up a divisional title? And with that, you get the right to host a playoff game and be undeniably the worst team of anybody coming out of the NFC to make, quote-unquote, the tournament. So you get to the playoffs, you lose, it's one and done. Is that worth it? Because what comes with that is you're stuck with Jason Garrett moving forward. And part of me believes that Jerry Jones needs this team to completely fall apart. It's got to be grisly for him to part ways with Jason Garrett. There's a strong personal relationship there, and I'm all about that because I work in a business in which people get fired every 10 minutes. You get a new boss, you have a new job coming up. So there's nothing wrong with loyalty. But this is the National Football League, the most bottom line oriented industry out there. And the Cowboys have been stuck in mediocrity for decades. They've won two playoff games in 22 years. And look across the rest of the NFL. What did we see on Monday night? Beyond all the talent on the field, much more talent than the Cowboys have. We saw creativity. We saw innovation. And it wasn't just Sean McVay, the boy wonder. Andy Reid, and yes, you can fairly criticize his clock management. Of course, the Chiefs had timeouts late in the game because Andy does not know how to manage the clock, and we can poke holes in his postseason resume. But the reason I'm bringing up Andy Reid is he's not a young guy. You don't have to be 35 and gel your hair and have that fake half beard to know how to dial up a creative offense. Andy Reid's been doing it for a long time. Watch the Cowboys tomorrow. Even if they beat Washington, compare what they do, and I rarely talk X's and O's because that's not my strength, nor why I get to sit in this chair. But even I, with a semi-trained eye, can pick up what's going on off my TV. Watch the Cowboys offense tomorrow. Compare it to what you're going to see from the Bears, even with Chase Daniel, if in fact he's filling in for Mitchell Trubisky, under center, because Matt Nagy learned from Andy Reid in Kansas City. And yes, the Bears have a formidable defense. And Khalil Mack's one of the five best players in all of football. But Mitchell Trubisky actually looks like a serviceable quarterback when healthy because of the coaching he's received. And I just don't see that kind of strategic advantage when it comes to the team with the stars on their helmet. You want to be part of the show? It's 1-800-636-8686. You got to get in now because coming up in 20 minutes, we take you around the NFL with Will Brinson, senior football writer from CBSSports.com. If you're bashful, I can understand the reticence. Email's also a good option. RomanHaveATake.com. Tweet at me during or after the show. BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Straight ahead, we make the move to college football. Last night, the latest official rankings came out. Nothing changed, so we'll spin it forward, talk about the rivalry games, and look ahead to the playoff. Will all four of the current top teams make it to the college football playoff? Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. Always great to spend time with you in the jungle, especially on Thanksgiving Eve. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio, simulcast on the CBS Sports Network, streaming live on radio.com. Home stretch, but we have a lot of business to attend to. Coming up in 15 minutes, we take you across the NFL, getting you fully lined up for the three games coming up tomorrow when we check in with Will Brinson, senior football writer for CBSSports.com. Straight ahead, we'll tackle college football and I'm going to say the phone lines are now closed. So we took two calls today. I hit my number. If you want to be a part of the show, email RomanHaveATake.com or Twitter, BW Weber are the ways to jump in. Some emails. John Cristal, Brian, $30 to watch the entire PGA Tour season. Who has that kind of scratch just lying around? Yours truly, Hawk. the Red Robin. He's got the $30 because he won at the car dealership. Prevailed hugely. Don't read the whole invoice, Adam. You'll be fine. As long as you think you're up, you're up. Yo, fill-in host. Fill-in spelled P-H-I-L. It's funny because everything you said about Tiger and Phil is exactly like you describe yourself filling in for Rome. Just like you filling in for the man, we're only going to tune into highlights of this match to make fun of how painful and lame it is. Like me. Shout out to all the Americans who buy gluten-free buns to feel better about themselves this weekend. The first step is admitting you have a problem. Tyler and Shredmonton, CEO, Tiger Honk Nation. Incidentally, and I know we have a great production staff, Hawk is just trying to kill me. I'm too old that I can't read without glasses, but I'm too vain to get glasses, and my man's giving me the micro 2.5 font. Thank you, Adam. Emails continue. Dear Brian, or whatever the hell your name is, if the city of Cleveland had any balls, they'd boo LeBron. Okay, I got to pre-read that. Hawk, are you really on vacation already? Alvin is a professional. I came up with enough content for 6 hours. And no, it's not Black Wednesday. The rest of the staff, given the day off, Hawk mentally checked out after I did the Phil versus Tiger is a scam take in the first hour. Finally, dear not Rome, the El Tigre Fat Smack is something for the record books. It even has me shaking. Yours, T. Ortiz.
Tito, go ahead. Tell him what I do so well.
Well, he talks well. His mouth has gotten him every fight, big fight that he's had.
Tito always says I'm using my mouth to get my opportunities. The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife.
Oh,
well, just
chill.
To correct you, there was never no marriage. You're a f***ing punk, dude. That's what you call class right here compared to no class.
That was a nasty line.
No class. No class at all. That's why you see him with thongs and f***ing jeans and a t-shirt. No class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
A bad girl.
I didn't want to step on that anymore. It was so good. Tito Ortiz obviously has taste because he blew off Hawk when he was checking out the drag racing. That's from Aaron in Omaha. All right. I do have some thoughts about the college football playoff. We'll get there in a moment. But when I have a jungle legend waiting, we go directly to the phone lines. Trapper, on the day before Thanksgiving, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for the time. How you doing today, man?
I'm good. Doing well.
Anyhow, bottom line, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky right now. You still there, bro?
Yes, I am. I'm listening to everyone.
Anyhow, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, waiting for getting another blood transfusion. As a lot of my brothers and sisters in the jungle know, I got stage 4 bone cancer. On the other hand, we were supposed to check out of this life a year ago, and my PSA in the last 2 years has gone from 35 to 7. So I got a lot to be thankful for today. Sports-wise, real briefly, a lot of talk after the big shootout on Monday night about who's number one in the NFL. About KC or the Rams, I don't buy it. Anybody that gives up 50 points in a game has a defense that's like a sieve with water going through it. I'll go with the Saints. Thanksgiving thought, I got to say this real fast. Given you got a terminal disease, you know, it's your own borrowed time. The calls that I have gotten from people and messages like Caleb, Matt, Tyler, Richie, the fixer, Flores, Richie from Anaheim Hills, Lef, Silk, Jimmy Benton, Dave in Portland, all the people in the jungle that have been so supportive. You take your strength every day in different ways as to how to fight a nasty fight. And from everybody in the jungle, it has been so cool and so supportive. Much love and gratitude. One thing, Ira, my man, I got to say this. It's been a lot of bagging on Ira lately, who's my guy, one of them. And there's a guy, Dan, or what's his name, Clem, in Denver. He's been pretty brutal on Ira. Ira has been in the jungle for over 25 years, over a quarter of a century. He's added as much wit, humor, laughs, yucks to this show as anybody. He's one of the reasons it's a talk radio show, and he's been there from the beginning. The dude, if they talk about made men, IRA Craig Ellington is a made guy. And if you think you are going to take cheap shots at my guy, at our guy, Clem, you got to go through a lot of family here. And that's what we are. It's like Bruce said, we take care of our own. Very happy and joyous and prosperous Thanksgiving to everybody out there in the jungle. To steal one from Lou, today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth, and not any small part of it is being here talking to y'all. God bless. Tramps like us, babe. I'm out.
Thank you, Trapper. And I've been listening to Trapper on the show for 20 years. Hope he is feeling better. Sounds like some positive news on the health front. And on the day before Thanksgiving, and I don't do sincerity well, but in the wake of that call, I have to try. Take a moment and think about all the great things in your life, especially if you have your health, because these bromides are true. Everything else is replaceable, but a real thrill to have a chance to take a call from Trapper, and we all hope that he starts trending in the right direction physically. All right, I got to get back into character here. But those are the guys that I grew up listening to. Ia Frady and the Tolas, and to talk to Trapper, a real thrill. Let me give you 90 seconds on college football so I can feel like a competent host, because I do love the college game as much as I love the NFL. Couple thoughts on what happened last night on the latest reveal. And I've been in those situations when I did more TV than talk radio. This is a better fit for my skill set at this stage of my career. It's tough to sell if there's nothing there. And the guys in that studio are doing their best to come up with anything mildly controversial. It was good to see Central Florida jump Ohio State, even though both teams won. And even though I do remember in the old approach to college football, when being undefeated meant something, that BYU team led by Robbie Bosco that beat Michigan in the Holiday Bowl to win the national championship, those days are gone. Central Florida is a marvelous story. Think about where they were before putting together back-to-back undefeated seasons. They were winless. And then Scott Frost changed everything before he went back home to Nebraska. They're not going to play in the playoff. They're not going to play for a national championship. But it's only a matter of time before we get to the 18 playoff that you're clamoring for. Now, when we get there, I'm going to have less interest in the college game, because if we have eight teams vying for the national championship, I don't care who the ninth best team in the nation is. The current format is perfect. But I'm going to be wrong here, because there's too much money to be made by going to at least six teams as the compromise, with five Power Five champions and the at-large bid. And that could have been Central Florida this year, if you think they can actually hang with Alabama. And I know what the Citadel did. I watched that game out of morbid curiosity, couldn't believe it was 10-10 at the half. Citadel didn't throw a single pass in the first half. Well, you know what happened in the second half. Alabama woke up. So it's Alabama, Auburn, Iron Bowl, Saturday here on CBS. Bama's going to win that game, not only because they're a transcendent team, but Auburn's down this year, especially in conference play. And now you have all the chatter about Gus Malzahn's buyout and War Eagle Nation, not feeling good heading into the holiday. But moving forward, if you're looking for radical change, here's what you need to see happen. And we discussed it in the last hour with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC title game. Georgia clearly going to the college football playoff, having taken down mighty Alabama, champs of the SEC. Notre Dame simply has to beat USC on Saturday, and I realize the Irish have had some issues in the month of November in recent years. A Stanford loss was devastating a few years ago. Not going to happen this weekend. USC is way down. If you watch any of that game against UCLA, rarely use this word, especially talking about a rivalry game. Looked like the Trojans quit on Clay Helton. Did not want to be on the field. There will be a new head coach for USC, and then we could talk about, is it James Franklin or whomever the hot name out there might be. So Notre Dame win and they're in. Georgia beats Alabama, SEC title game on CBS, they're in. Clemson's not going to lose to South Carolina nor the ACC title game. Clemson's going to be undefeated. They're going back to the playoff. What's left? This committee will have a decision to make between one loss Alabama and probably one loss Michigan as Big Ten champs If Michigan can handle their business and their favorite to beat Ohio State and then take care of things against Northwestern in the Big Ten title game, and I can give you the end of this story because it was revealed to us a year ago. Alabama didn't even win their own division, didn't even make it to Atlanta. They were plucked by the committee, and that decision was validated because Alabama won it all. Well, the perception is Alabama's even better this year because Tua is a generational talent on a college football field under center. So Alabama's going to this playoff with one loss, whether you like it or not, and then we're talking about the Big Ten champion being excluded from the college football playoff for the second consecutive year, along with the Big 12 and the Pac-12. And Washington State deserves a lot more national recognition, but they're tucked away on the Palouse, and we don't talk about them. So those are the dominoes you need to see fall if you're looking for real chaos, potentially being the foundation for real change. Tweet at me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. More of your emails coming up. RomeAndHaveATake.com straight ahead. Back to the NFL. Will Texas native Colt McCoy guide the Redskins to an upset win tomorrow over the Cowboys? We'll check in with Will Brinson, senior football writer for CBSSports.com. But first, it's time for a sports update. Jay Berman has the latest.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Brian, this report is brought to you by Untuckit. Untuckit makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, not too short. It's just right. Check out Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. All right, we'll start with Thanksgiving Day. Triple header in the NFL. It begins with the Bears and Lions. That game is on CBS television beginning at 12:30 Eastern time tomorrow. Looks like Chase Daniel will start under center for Chicago, not Mitch Trubisky, who's dealing with a bad shoulder. Daniel last made a start in 2014 for the Kansas City Chiefs. From the college game, breaking news, according to a report, Miami Hurricanes leading receiver Jeff Thomas not at practice as rumors swirl that he's left the team. Again, nothing confirmed. But Jeff Thomas not at practice. Baseball news, Jim Hickey's resigned after one season as the Cubs pitching coach. He's citing personal reasons. Indians say outfielder Leonis Martin is healthy, should be ready for spring training. He was diagnosed with a life-threatening bacterial infection last summer. I'm Jay Berman.
You can hear CBS Sports Radio on satellite radio. Check us out on our new channel, SiriusXM 206.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. Jim off for the rest of the week. He'll return on Monday with all the fallout from the NFL weekend that kicks off tomorrow. So let's take you across the NFL, talk some football with a good friend of the program, Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. Will, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Good, man. Happy early holidays.
Thank you, my man. Let's start with the first three games on CBS. It's the Bears and the Lions. We've been talking so much about the Chicago defense, and Khalil Mack has been unstoppable. But how far has Mitchell Trubisky come this season under new head coach Matt Nagy, even though we may not see him tomorrow because of the shoulder injury, and it could be Chase Daniel guiding the Chicago offense?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, he's come a long way. I would expect that we do not see Mitchell Trubisky on Thursday. You know, when you look at a young quarterback, you know, in the early stages of his career, dealing with an AC joint injury, listed as doubtful after his team played on Sunday night on the primetime game and then had to come back again and play on the noon game on Thursday, I think there's no way, even though the Bears know this is a crucial game, that they would roll Trubisky out there and risk further damaging that shoulder. He's too valuable. They've built the entire construct of the franchise with his rookie contract. That's sort of, you know, the goal that they've built around. So I don't think we'll see him, but he has come a long way. I got to tell you, I mean, I think that, you know, since week three, if you look at what the Bears have done, they really started to change what they did. They kind of make Tariq Cohen, the spry young man out of A&T, the fulcrum of that offense. And the result has been that Trubisky's seen a major spike in his yards per attempt, yards per game, and completion percentage. And he's just been very efficient as part of that Matt Nagy system. And, you know, Brian, I think we saw it too on Monday night. We had the Chiefs and the Rams game, and we see the future of football. The Bears are part of that. You know, Matt Nagy's a Andy Reid protege, and he's able to deliver the same sort of offense for Chicago that we're seeing in Kansas City, and I think it's only going to benefit Mitchell Trubisky in the years to come.
Talking NFL with Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. Will, in terms of the actual impact on the field, if it's not going to be Mitchell Trubisky, Chase Daniel's been around this league for a long time, plus I have real concerns about Detroit. And we know they went to Chicago and got destroyed a couple weeks ago. And if you're just thinking about the injury component in this game, Kerryon Johnson, finally the running back the Lions have been looking for 5 years. Well, he's banged up as well. So how do you see the game if it's Chase Daniel starting for Chicago?
Yeah, I still think, here's the thing, you know, Chase Daniel knows the system pretty well, right? And he's the greatest backup in the world that we've never actually really seen play. I think he could surprise some people. And when you talk about the injuries, Marvin Jones and Kerryon Johnson both ruled out, I believe, in like the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so for the Lions. So they're going to be shorthanded on offense. Of course, they traded Golden Tate. Kenny Galladay is a stud. But their offensive line, a very hit-or-miss unit this year, you know, hadn't been able to, you know, protect Matthew Stafford in a consistent level. And when you're going against Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, who also deserves all pro consideration, you're really playing with fire if you don't protect for Stafford. Now, I think the good news is Stafford is used to not having a running game, right? And he's used to kind of playing that dink and dunk Jim Bob Cooter system. He's won five of his six last home Thanksgiving games. And so he's used to playing on this big stage. And we saw him, you know, really get the Vikings, you know, last year, sort of similar matchup in that regard. And so I think the Lions could actually end up being favored if Chase Daniel is under center. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but it's going to come down to whether they can protect Stafford up front against Khalil Mack. And if they can prevent Khalil Mack from having a huge day, I think the Lions can get out of there with a win.
Brian Weber for Jim Rome. We're chatting with Will Brinson, senior football writer for CBSSports.com. Let's move to game two tomorrow in Dallas. Well, unless you think Colt McCoy can duplicate what he did against the Cowboys a few years ago, and the Redskins are going to win tomorrow on the road during a short week, Cowboys feel like they are the team to beat in that division. How much of that is by default? Because the Eagles have imploded, and Washington won't have Alex Smith the rest of the way.
Yeah, and the Giants, who aren't technically out of it, if they beat the Eagles.
No, they're out of it, Will. I know they're in the hunt, but let's bury the Giants.
Right. No, I agree we bury the Giants. I'm just saying that's how bad this division is, that the Giants, we could even, like, kind of credibly say they might be in it. Yeah, I mean, I think here's my thing with the Cowboys that I think is interesting. We're just assuming they're going to win because Alex Smith is out. But I think the Redskins can make a game out of this. They actually match up pretty well with Dallas in terms of their, you know, biggest strength, which is the defensive line, being able to limit the Cowboys' almost prerequisite for success, which is their running game and their offensive line. Now, Dallas's offensive line has been playing much better as of late. They're blocking up front for Zeke Elliott, who's piling up scrimmage yards like crazy. He's been a much better receiver, a much more prolific receiver out of the backfield this year than in years past. Amari Cooper's opening up the offense a little bit for Dak Prescott. But, Brian, the idea that Dallas is just going to win this one just because they probably should scares me a little. I like Washington getting the 7.5 a whole lot in this game. I kind of like Washington to potentially win it. I think that the Redskins are going to try and turn this into an absolute sort of slop fest. They don't want it to be a track meet. They want it to be a grinded out, shorten the game, try and turn it into a situation where they can limit the offensive output from both teams, pull off a couple of trick plays, Jay Gruden emptying the kitchen sink. And if they get out of there with a win, they're probably going to lock up the division. So I'm sort of bullish on the Redskins' chances here, but I certainly understand why most people would lean towards the Cowboys, given given the dearth of healthy bodies lying around Washington right now.
We're getting football analysis and gambling picks from Will Brinson, senior football writer, CBSSports.com. Well, I guess I should ask you, do you give Atlanta any shot on the road in New Orleans? We know in the midst of that rivalry, well, historically, the road team does well, but the Falcons have been destroyed defensively by injury. So let's spend our time on the Saints. They've scored 99 points the last 2 weeks. Do you see any flaw connected to New Orleans?
I don't. I mean, I think the only flaw might be hubris at this point, and I don't think it's a bad thing for the Saints right now, because they are – they're not just beating teams. They're taking teams' souls. I mean, they destroyed the last, like, three teams that they've beaten up on. And actually, really, if you go back, to the Redskins before the Saints bye on that Monday night game where Drew Brees set the record, with the exception of two close road games against Baltimore and Minnesota, they have been annihilating teams, Brian. And they're beating them so bad that you hear, the team sounds spooked the next day. Like they're walking around like, oh man, like what just happened to us? Sean Payton's calling, dialing up deep passing plays to Alvin Kamara on 4th and 7 when they're up by 31 points. We got name receivers coming out of the woodwork catching balls. Traquan Smith, the rookie, is looking explosive. Michael Thomas might be the best receiver in the league. And the key here for me against Atlanta, and why I couldn't touch Atlanta with the 13, and I think that the Saints will win big, and I think that both teams will combine to score more than 60 if you care about that number. Sean Payton saw Patrick Mahomes lose on Monday night in a shootout. Sean Payton has to be aware that right now Vegas has installed Drew Brees as the MVP favorite. And if you look at his history with Brees and the Saints and the record books, he is willing to take sportsmanship and throw it out of the car, moving 90 miles an hour down the highway, run back, slam on brakes, back over it, and then run over it on his way to a win again. He doesn't care. If it's going to get Drew Brees an MVP, he will keep running up the score. He will end the Falcons season. He will beat them by 30 points. And he will put the Saints, in a spot where they're in a really good place to get that number one seed, the NFC. I don't think you see the Saints let up in this game at all, and I think they cruise to a big win on Thursday night.
All right, before you hand out your lock of the century, let's wrap it up with Sunday Night Football. Effectively must win for the Packers to keep their fate playoff hopes alive, but the Vikings only have one more win over Green Bay, and you recall they had the tie at Lambeau Field. Let's jump over to the Minnesota perspective. How would you evaluate Kirk Cousins year one for the Vikes?
It's been up and down, and it's almost been, I think it's been very similar to 2017 and 2016 when he was at the Redskins. He's putting up some numbers. And at the end of the day, his numbers are going to be impressive. We're going to look back at Kirk Cousins and say, wow, what a season. But he's not showing up in primetime in these big games. He's now 2-14 in primetime games. I get that his quarterback wins aren't a stat we should hang our hat on, but 2-14 in primetime games is a concern. And, the Vikings.
Well, we appreciate the information. Have a great holiday. Drive safely, and we'll chat with you again here on CBS Sports Radio. And poof, he's gone. I couldn't tell if that was a pause. Pauses are good. I think we covered most of the material we needed to. Nothing wrong with pausing. There is a host here. It's not just a potted plant. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. With a reminder, we're brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can submit a question. It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Ask the Pros question at CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Have just enough time to squeeze in a call. Earlier, we heard from Trapper. Dan in Denver has a reply. Dan, you got to be quick. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
B-Dub, what's happening, man? Listen, I have zero interest in beefing with Trapper. If he wants to call and tattle to the guest host about me being mean to people on Twitter, that's fine. Ray Craig is more than welcome to attend my Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, assuming he has clean clothes and a shower. But if not, I'm sure the local homeless shelter in L.A. will cook up something nice for him, and a player from the Lakers D squad can pass it out. War Ray using engine grease as cranberry sauce. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Out.
Fabulous. What a way to end the program. heading into the holiday. But I'm merely the fill-in host. So I will not get in the way of a jungle beef because I don't need you guys coming at me on Twitter. But if you want to, clearly I have too much free time. It is B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. One more email. Dear Brian, leave Andy Reid alone. His postseason resume is rough, so poking holes in it can leave a mark. Regards, Norv Turner's face. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Norvell Turner. Well, that's a fitting conclusion to what has been three entertaining hours filling in for Jim. As I mentioned in passing, I don't do sincerity well. You got to know your limitations. And when Hawk wanted to talk about the match, if we had done the match game, would have been 20 great minutes in the first hour. But I do what I'm told. Still, in the midst of enjoying all the football, and it kicks off with CBS's coverage of the Lions and the Bears tomorrow. All the food. Do take a moment to think about what the holiday is all about, and I don't have to lecture you. It's not fun to have the guy on the radio telling you how to live your life. But if you're lucky enough to spend the day with family and friends, take a moment to enjoy it and reflect on what the holiday is all about. So many people to thank. Every time I am lucky enough to fill in for Jim. So let's start with all the good folks at CBS Sports Radio, streaming on radio.com. The CBS Sports Network television production crew always does an amazing job. Thanks to Craig Hitchin, Jim Rome, XR4TI, just Adam and Alvin today. Thanks to everyone who called, emailed, or tweeted. If you're on the road, drive safely. You'll get there. No need to press your luck. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the Lions and the Vikings on CBS. Grant Napier's in the chair on Friday. Jim back on Monday here on CBS Sports Radio.